So I'd like to start off by introducing myself. I'm Kate, and you didn't hear this before we started, but my executive producer, Chris, said that this was episode one of Rules Apply, but the actual name of this podcast is Rules May Apply.
Y'all.
And I don't even know what that means, because you never know until a rule has to apply what that means. I know for me, I have a lot of opinions on a lot of things, and they're all very black and white. I don't know much about the gray area. So for my entire life, I've been keeping a set of caveats and rules and terms and conditions, and I have no problem telling you what I think about everything. So I decided this is a really good platform. And today I've brought my very best good friend, Juliana, Juli, to be the messenger of establishing who I am and why you should give a shit. So, Juli, welcome to Rules May Apply.
Oh, mi amore.
Bienvenido.
Thank you. I have to start saying that there's not a bigger honor than to just be in the first episode of Rules May Apply.
No, I'm not yet. So, also, Juliana is from Colombia. And my language in high school coming up, you had to pick French or Spanish. I picked Spanish because it was so much easier than French, and I didn't like to try that hard. So now I speak Spanish pretty fluently. And my rule with Juli, mi regla con Juli, in the very beginning of our relationship, we met like 5 years ago at work, was I wanted her to speak Spanish with me exclusively so that I could continue to practicar mi español. Y pero now we promise not to speak too much Spanish at all. Pero sí escuchando. But we do speak Spanish.
We do. And it's just fun because it's always just like a constant learning. Kate learns my Spanish.
I continue
learning everything about life and everything about yourself and the way you see things, because it's just like, and we'll get to it, but it's a continuous reminder of how to just like be truth to yourself. So yes, I teach you Spanish, and yes, we have this amazing friendship, but it's just like this beautiful learning situation all the time.
Gracias.
So being part of this clearly,
which is why I felt like I'm totally qualified to have a podcast.
Completely. So nothing. Let's dive in.
And we don't know where it goes, but I think that's the best form of conversation, is you have no idea what direction it takes. But today we're going to start with my terms and conditions. I am about to turn 43. And since I was about 26, when I got my very first job behind a desk, made my first salary and had like insurance and time off and like didn't have to work the mattress sale on 4th of July, I started getting this autonomy about me where I felt really independent and my opinions could be mine and you didn't have to like them because I had the income and the stability to do whatever I wanted to do anyway. So I started keeping a list, actually written down on paper. They're sitting in front of us now, of things that I just didn't want to do. Like if you asked me to go out to dinner, I had a term and condition, like I'm not going to eat after 7:30 p.m. Like I'm tired, I gotta go to bed. If we're not eating by 6, I'll go with you another time. Very subtle, just like, I don't need. And it has turned into 20 years later, a very long list on the back of the exact same envelope of things that they're caveats, they are rules, they're things that I'd rather not do unless you can change my mind or unless you're the person I'd love to do them with. And so Juli has a list in front of her now. So the best intro to me is my terms and conditions on Rules May Apply. Juli?
Well, I'd like to also just like tell you what this is.
Oh, wait, you don't even know what's inside.
You told me once. So this is a manila envelope folded in half. And obviously, Kay's handwriting is like the most beautiful thing, like perfect and immaculate. But then if you touch inside, it's uneven. And then there's like a little thing in there, hard. And Kay told me the other day, she was like, hey, Juli, I just want to send you a list of my terms and conditions. And do you want to know what is it, what it's written into? And I was like, what is it? She's like, an envelope that has the molar of a friend of mine inside that actually let me keep it because I don't remember the
I just thought it was so weird.
And I still haven't looked inside, but I'm kind of going to right now.
So, just a little bit. I'm not lying. It's not wrapped in
anything. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So,
this is ridiculous. Right? Guys, there are one, two, three, four colors that are just like brown and purplish and gray. They are disgusting. But sure, I'm going to flip them back.
So Huli is holding the forensic evidence of a still alive former coworker of mine, Zach Sweats. I think he started as an intern and then he came in as a junior. And he went to the dentist and came back to work. And I think you can't, like, obviously it's radio, you can't see anything. But my, I like oddities are my thing. I love oddities. I have hairless cats. I have weird, strange shit all over my house. But like in a classy way, it's not like Grandma's attic. It really isn't like
it is.
It's like really beautiful. And he shows up from the dentist holding a bag with like a medical paper bag, you know, like where you can sort of see through it. And it's got these massive, like cartoonish teeth in them. And I was like, say less, Zach. And I said to him, this poor fucking kid, he was like 25. I was way older than him. And like, he got nervous. And I was like, can I have those? And he just gave them to me. And they, I took an envelope out of my desk drawer. I put in that envelope. It has been in that envelope for, gosh, I've lived here for 10 years. It was like 15 years, probably. You have just opened it for the first time since that point. Great. I didn't know there were, what are there, four?
Well,
I thought there were two.
I'm glad we used it this big.
So anyway. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So basically all these terms and conditions that Kate has, they are divided by categories, as I would put them, just because there are just different kind of things. It's just like food preferences and social preferences, lifestyle preferences, and just like absolute nods that, you know, she just clearly lives by. And this is also something that I, when I describe Kate and I describe the way she does things, I just remember when she first taught me about rituals. And this is something that I see as one of your rituals is just, you know, just following the rules of your life.
And I would say it's not an OCD thing. It's not a regimented thing. It's not strict. It's kind of a gamification of day to day. I have decided that it could be super like boring and tedious and mundane and blah, blah, all those like negative words. But if you gamify it, if you put these weird little rules in place, it just gives you kind of like a constant strategy to be working on. And that's just fun. I'm not married to anything, as we'll get into, because there's a lot of shit on that list. We're all flex, no problem. But for the gen pop out there, you can consider this a rule until you make it through. So, yes, I would like to say it's not like hard and fast and fierce alpha, like hands on hips, I don't do these things. It's just a set of like, it's Tetris. Either the block fits or it doesn't fit. But if you can spin that block and change the color and flip it upside down and all around, you can then fit the block into the place. Now you have a new rule. So it's a game. I turned it all into a game. Okay, go. Sorry.
Okay, can I just say something else real quick?
Sure. Nothing but time.
And I know that your introduction was very minimal. Just, hi, I'm Kate and I'm doing this. But I think that I should just say something about you in the way I perceive you and most people that see you. They're just going to have obviously different perspectives. But when I met you and the impression I have of you, I kind of want to share that because I think it's very interesting.
Okay.
And it's also how when I was saying before, when I started talking about you, and I just like go into it, I just say things.
Oh, sorry, your tag is out. I can't stop looking at it.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. This is, thank you. Okay. It's like since the day.
Okay. And my bra is also.
Well, that's hot.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm just going to start with this. Kate is this person. When I first saw her. When I first saw you, Charlie told me,
Charlie Sicklinger,
she's
my executive producer is off stage over here. He has tipped over my gorgeous Matryoshka dolls. The clock. It's okay, we'll edit this in post.
It's okay.
Is that what people say?
Well, I stopped recording. I did.
Okay, good. Okay.
Okay, so Charlie Sicklinger, show up. So Charlie, when I started working at this agency at 72 and Sunny, Charlie told me, Julie, this is Kate. I just think you guys are going to love each other. And here is Kate, incredibly hot, with the coolest outfit and gorgeous. And I'm like, this girl, just like, why is she thinking that I'm going to be super friends with her? Like, what does she see in me that she also sees in Kate? Well, minute 15, when I finish talking to Charlie, I go and talk to Kate, and I'm like, oh my God, this is my type of friend. This is the girls I want to have in my life. So let's go back. Let's move forward to the moment I started like really knowing you. And then I just saw this uniqueness in Kate that I just put it as is understanding, like the acceptance of your uniqueness, the immediate respect, and then the full understanding of who he is, and then just like continuing with it if you're up to it, right? Mm-hmm. So you see Kate and immediately you understand like her entire personality if you are someone that kind of just like follow that kind of path. If you just don't understand Kate, you're immediately going to judge her.
Yeah.
Immediately. And it's probably...
I was going to say, I'd like to also very openly acknowledge that I have plenty of people who do not like me.
And they know it, and I love it.
And I don't... I mean, you hope so. If everyone liked you, then you'd just be this tofu person that everyone liked because, like, you can shape-shift all over the place, you know? And if you really ruffle a feather... There's a dog at work. This is the premise example. Dogs and parents love me. I know that. Like, I am just fucking light from heaven for all of them. There is one dog at work. Shout to Leah. One dog at work. He's a bulldog, and he hates my guts. He hates my guts. He will get up from a dead sleep if I walk by and come for me in a way that shocks people because they don't believe me when I tell them. And Leah has apologized so many times. I don't hold you at fault, Leah, that I'm not saying... But I said to Leah, I said, I love that he hates my guts. He has so much passion for me inside his body that I'm like, you can hate me, dog. Like, what do I care? Cool. You keep hating my guts.
I love that you tell me to hate me this much.
You just have woken up out of a dead ass sleep to hate my guts. You're welcome, bulldog. I'm fine with that. And I kind of feel the same way about people. I am the same person all the time, no matter what, with everybody. If that isn't for you, and that means you just don't dig it at all, no harm, no foul. We do not have to be friends. I'm fine with that.
No problem.
Exactly. And better for you that you're really
up to feel.
I respect and you the fact that you've decided.
Yes, yeah. I won't approach her. Fine. Better for me. I don't
it doesn't change
her.
How I treat you. I am just real sure you hate my guts. Because that's what I'm good at. I can tell when you don't like me. I can tell when you really do like me. I am honored to be able to even get an intro like this. And she's not done. I'm going to let her finish. Okay.
No, you actually finished the sentence because it was, I wrote, you know, just like a little start to myself saying, judgment? No, you just don't get her and shouldn't, couldn't be her friend. So... You can end my sentence.
Well, and I don't, you know, I don't have a whole lot of enemies. I just have a lot of people who do not prefer me. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of my friendships. I'm super proud of my relationships. This, you are the first of a beautiful string of people who I'll come on and have incredible conversations with.
Yes.
And so I'm very thankful that you agreed to come and lay groundwork for the shit we want to get into.
Happiness of mine.
Cheers.
As always.
Cheers. We'll always... be drinking on this podcast.
Always.
Cheers, my net. My executive producer's off screen. I hope we do not have a falling out because I'm meeting you. Chris and Sachin, Scotch and Soda, Christian, they are here with us, and we would not have figured this out without them. I literally made the mics look so pretty on the table. I was like, they're perfect. These are the gorgeous tables, and all the courts are over here for them. So thank you, men, for getting us set up, and... let's go, because honestly, the thing is, let's get this out of the way too. I will kick all of these people out at some point, whether we're finished it or not, because there's always an end time to when I have people over. It's called hospitality. I have hostility to my hospitality. So when it's time for you to leave my home, I will let you know. We're wrapping up here. We've got 10 minutes. Start to call your Ubers. I'm going to ask you to leave.
Yeah, it is the most beautiful thing because we already know that we need to leave. It's just like, oh, it's about time. Oh, it's getting, you know, it's almost like 4. We actually are Where are they probably going to go? Have
everybody in it? It's so sure. Everybody's in anxiety around 4 p.m. at my house because they know I'm literally about to say, okay, so let's have just one more round, or this is our last drink, everybody, or we're going to go eat. Whatever it is, it's around the, like, I can still have my own Netflix and chill time after everybody goes home, and I don't feel like I have to go right to bed. So yeah, there's always nap time.
And it's never uncomfortable because you're always just like such a beautiful hostess that, you know, that you're always taking care of us. You kick us out, you kick us out. So that goes the respect that we have for all these terms and conditions. That is
exactly
to start with it. All right. So let's start with this one. Only if there's a bartender or server, and no table windows orders.
Right.
So this is something that is just like one of your choices, your personal choices when socially going
out. When we go out for food, I do not feel like spending money if I'm going to have to serve myself. My job is service all day long. So if I'm going to go out and give someone money for a drink or food, I don't want to go up to the counter and order and get one of those little table numbers where you bring me my food and I have to get my own water. I don't want any place that doesn't have a bartender. I don't want any place where there's like no server. There's just someone who comes and does. I want to go out. I want to go out to eat. I want to have a server. I want to have a bartender. I want a coat check without a ticket. Sasha, are you raising your hand?
Yes, I have a question.
Sasha has a question. We have a question for the back, please.
Peanut gallery.
Do yours.
Yes, peanut gallery.
He just learned peanut gallery today. Yes. This is my friend Sachin from Bhopal, India. And every now and then we give colloquialisms. And today, I
told you. Me too, actually.
Yeah, I did not know, but peanut gallery was introduced to lexicons today. Okay, go, please.
How did you survive with this terms and condition during COVID time?
That's a fantastic question. Well, not on the list. Actually, I didn't even cover it at all. I don't think anywhere it mentions it. My preferred form of food, period, is takeout brought to my personal home. So I'm fine making my own drink if I'm at home. I hate paying for my own drink, but I'm fine making it. But when someone comes to me and hands me my food in a bag, that to me is first class, fourth class service. I don't need anything better than that. So COVID was great. I did not mind that at all. Because we did this, we went out to dinner in COVID, and the best thing about it was no one else was at dinner. So we had the whole house to ourselves. I do enjoy that situation.
Barcode menu.
Good question.
Barcode menu.
Oh, I hate a barcode. Are you kidding me? You're going to put a barcode? You're going to put a barcode on a menu and make me scan it and look on my phone? Enraged. And I'll take it a step further. We went to Hillstone.
Barcode payment.
Yes, this is what I'm getting at. It was such a slap in the face because not only did we pay at the table, which some might consider convenient, we never saw the server again. He left. He never came back. The gall to ask me to spend $400 on a dinner and I got to scan the barcode and pay on my tablet.
And not even tell us the first time.
Is this an airport? Ooh, I didn't think we'd strike nerves this early, but yes, barcode menus, barcode anything.
I like that.
This is the reason, not just like the service, it's the restaurant itself. You go, the paper choice is specific, how they choose to present their menu. The menu art is so cool. Menu art is so fucking cool. There's none of that. It all just went away. And it's like, you didn't have to brand your shit anymore. You didn't have to do anything to make me want to come there. All you had to do is give me food. I get food anywhere. The menu is a part of all of it. The menu is like the Sky Lounge. It's my entire experience before I get the experience is what you're giving me to hold in my hands. I don't really like, that's a huge, like, oh no, I don't need that. I don't want to go there. Okay, this is great. What's next? Now you've got me.
Do you smile? One little point just developed all this, right?
Yeah, thanks.
Like, barks.
You know what? I prayed to Jesus. And Jesus died this morning. Meat for this conversation. And here we are. No puns intended.
Just, like, continue to enlighten each one of these points.
Oh, my God. I'm the best peanut gallery.
Exactly. All right. Let's go to the next one. No standing. I only go out if I can sit.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And that goes for, like, again, it's because I'm on my feet all day. You can ask anyone I work with, I never sit down. When I am done, I am done. I turn off from fully open and gracious and hospitable myself, and I want the open, gracious hospitality to me. So I want to go to a restaurant where I can sit, also to a bar, but I want to sit. I don't want to go to your concert. I don't want to go to your concert anyway, by the way. But I will go to, won't go to your concert if I have to stand. Like, I'm not going to stand. I want to sit down. I want to sit down at a parade. I want to sit down at a picnic in a chair. I don't want to sit on the grass. I want to chair. I just, it's a comfort thing. Like, I don't need to go. It's got to be good. That bait's got to be good to get me to just stand around.
So let's continue with the seating situation. What about the no communal tables? Picnic table.
So I will take that a step further and say I went out to lunch yesterday and they brought me to the table. The table was tiny, which I don't mind a tiny table at all. That's super hot. It was the proximity of the tiny table to the next tiny table. So you're basically just eating with the tiny people next to you. I don't need to do that. You can't even push back in your chair without feeling like you're looking over the shoulder at their cell phone. Communal tables mean that you're going to talk to me. I don't want to share my experience. I don't want to share. That should be nice on the list. I don't want to share.
You share food now.
I do. I have really come around. I have really come around to being open to sharing food. I think this is like childhood shit. I'm the only daughter. I'm the middle child. I shared a bathroom with my brothers. I shared everything with everybody. I just had to. I don't want to fucking share my shit now. I'm too old and I pay my own way. I just don't. That's the thing. I'm not mad. I just don't need to do it.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so talking about all this, let's just talk about the fact that you don't like to do things that we normally do in groups. And you have a lot of friends that are always loving you and always want to go out with you. But there are certain setups that Kate prefers. None of them are, as it says here, I don't karaoke. I don't dance.
Yeah.
I don't do lunch, dinner, brunch.
No, I do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. No brunch, no prefix.
Ah, okay.
I've come around to brunch because can't avoid it. Prefix, I will not accept.
Prefix, I get it. Explain. Yeah.
Prefix implies, it's not even a limitation. Prefix comes with a crowd. Prefix comes with a date night crowd that only goes out tonight, on this night, to this restaurant. Prefix comes with a holiday theme. Prefix doesn't have probably the bigger size of the filet that I want.
Or the quality of the filet.
Yeah, but yeah, honestly, prefix, like if you could take me to a French restaurant, I'm down for a prefix because you're going to have a motherfucking Caesar salad. I'm going to get a French onion soup out of it. I'm probably going to get like a piece of fish. Like all those things, down for. I don't want to go to an Italian prefix. I don't want your kale. I don't want your scallops. I'm here. I'm not even here for your filet. I just, no. I don't like choices made for me, period. That's it.
There is another thing here, and it's actually, this is like one of the best ones, is even check split. We're not in high school. If you can't afford to go out, do not go out.
Yeah, 100%. I don't love groups anyway, because I think groups are uncomfortable. I think groups imply participation that I don't really have the energy for. And not because I don't want to, but I'm not going to roll out if I'm not showing up. I will never go somewhere half-assed. I won't go to work half-assed. I won't go to dinner with you half-assed. I will not go to talk to you if you need time to talk to you. I will. That is my Jesus time every morning, is to give me the energy to do it today, because I don't show up halfway. Group dinners make me want to stab myself in the eye. Forget showing up halfway. I don't want to do it. And a huge part of that is the non-drinker, the vegetarian, the person who didn't eat this, no sugar, so now we're going to tally a bill. I'm not here for that. If you go out as a group, we are splitting this down the middle, no matter what you ordered, no matter how long we were here. And if you don't want to pay the split and then tip 20% on top of that minimum, I don't want to go out to dinner with you. Like, that's not my jam.
Exactly. Which leads
the anxiety.
And also, it's just like
maturity.
But you're paying attention to, because you don't really want to be in this setup, like in this situation. And not that you don't want to be in, you know, like you probably have like some people that you like and whatnot. But also, it is just like you're just like trying to pick and choose, you know, like really who the people are, the ones that you're going to continue going out with. And if their behavior is not the best, like for example, it says here, if I find out that you're rude to servers or bartenders, and or you don't tip, you're isolated. My terms, Okay. I know your violation. Like, I know I use the word violation.
I will not go out with you again.
Yeah.
So that is just like you are actually observing what their behavior is towards other people, but you're learning to, you know, like who are the people that you want in your circle, who you want to continue.
And that's where the black and white comes in, where all of these things are kind of in flux. These are like dramatic writer's bent rules to the way I live my life. That said, I do mean it. If I ever see someone rude to another person, I can never unsee that. And I don't need to be friends with you. I don't need to be social friends with you anymore. We're not going to be mean now. We don't have enemies, but we're not going to chill anymore. I can't unsee that stuff. And so everything I'm getting, you would just assume do to me if you did it to them. And I'm not here for that. And that revelation is like, oh, I don't need 500,000 friends. I've got who's in family? What do we got? 10? There's 10 of us. So if I tally family, which is our group chat name, if I tally family with my other like side hoes, I've got 20 people max in my circle that I want to go out with in this way. And so these things aren't just like, I'm never leaving the house again because you're awful. It's, oh, I don't need to do this with you. That's just kind of one less thing that I have to do. Is we're going to do extra dinner. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I should go to your house.
No problem. If there's something that we can say that is completely your opposite, it's just being rude to people. Mm-hmm. Kate is so always fair. So not only she is super polite, she's always just very gentle with everybody. Doesn't matter who it is. Kate is always going to be the one that is saying hello, hi, thank you, admiring everything beautiful she sees. So the fact that you see something else that is completely against that, you just block it out.
And you reject it, right?
Reject it
immediately. And I think that goes to so much of not even relationships. I'm really good at just shutting it down. I don't need to be convinced. If you red flag it, I don't need a third red flag. I will cut that off. I'm great at a boundary, kind of toxically great at a boundary sometimes, depending on who you ask. But a lot of that is because you can remove a boundary anytime. If you let a boundary get away from you, it's so much harder to establish it. So I really go in being like, you know what? I do not want that. I don't want that in my day to day. I don't want that in my night out. I don't want that coming from my bank account. I don't want to send my investment energy on those things. Whatever that is, why the boundary goes down, because this is zero fucks. I don't got any fucks to give. None. I'm out.
And knowing.
Hold on. What does those signals mean? 2 minutes?
Repeat that.
Oh, no. I can't repeat
what? That. What? There's a whole thing.
That's organic. Play it back.
Zero fucks given.
Oh, zero fucks given. It's true. That is one of my favorite books, period. I don't know if I'm allowed to endorse things. But when you give zero fucks, it has nothing. It means nothing about the fact that you don't care. It's that all of my caring is allocated elsewhere. I have none left for this. No fucks left. And I walk around. You can ask anyone. You come to me with something that I don't care about. I start mime style searching my pockets and I can't find anything that I'm about.
That's so true.
And I look at them and I'm like, oh, shit, I have no fucks. I'm so sorry about. Because I love you so much. I don't care about this. I can't. I can't take it up in my bandwidth. Let me know when I can step in and be supportive of you, or let me know if you need help talking through something, but I'm not going to take this on. And that is kind of how I feel about all of it. I'm not going to take it on. And that's my zero fucks. I'm booked up everywhere. I'm booked up caring about this or booked up caring about this. I can't care about this too.
Okay. So talking about all this and the way you just select your people, there's also another category there that is just like a deep, like the hardcore sort of social selections, and is one that you don't date.
Yeah.
And I would just like love to go into this one a little bit because it's a very important one, because you see her super hot with the best personality, but she doesn't date.
I don't date, and not because I like stay at home like a nun and I like don't date. It's because I'm good at people. I have built a lot of relationships and a lot of insights and a lot of career clout on being able to judge people pretty accurately and pretty quickly. And dating is just that.
it's an evaluation of a human being and a human being that you want to spend time with. So whether it's in a casual relationship, whether it's the server out to dinner, whether it's the cashier when you're buying groceries, or friends or a coworker, you know if you like someone, you know pretty quickly. And so my job, my personality is super shockingly outgoing, even though I'm a huge introvert. I'm pretty outgoing. I'm not shy at all. And so I talk to people all day long and a lot. I'll go up to people I don't know. I will engage with my vendors. I will make a new friend. I will make someone feel comfortable. All day long, I engage and I interact. If I want to date you, you want to know about it. I promise you. And if you want to date me, you're going to have to roll up to me and tell me that 100%. And so dating is like an app situation. Dating is like going on a second date or a first date. Can you fucking imagine sitting across the table from me on a first date? Like, good luck out there. I'd be rough. So I wouldn't, like, it's just not this setting.
I would not love to be in this person's eyes for like a second.
I went on 3 Match.com dates when Match.com first came out, when it was like internet dating back in like 2006. Only one date, only all 3 of these guys. Every single time I saw them before they got through the threshold, I knew I didn't want to be there. Every single time I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? And every single time they didn't know what the fuck they got themselves into. And that was kind of it. I didn't need it any more than that. And now I just stick to that. I really love just kind of being a part of people. You'll find what you need to know just doing that and getting through. I mean, you're an example. You and your marriage is an example of that, but we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Y'all. Okay, so let me tell you what we have left. Got to cover. So we have no sharing beds or hotel rooms, no activities or icebreakers, no sports, I don't go for coffee, no participation, not a team player, no flying standby, there will be an end time we definitely cover, no healthy dining, no gyms, no beach or sands, no grass, picnics, and no bachelor parties that I know.
I mean,
this one,
weddings and engagements as a whole is like 3 episodes.
I can't wait.
Okay, so those are all my
social. And then you don't dance and you don't karaoke.
No, I don't usually do. I don't do that unless I were Heidi Klum and it had like, you know, just our annual costume party every single year. If I had her money and her access to costumes, I would do costumes. But I also do not do costumes. And on the only more. I'm the only member of my family who does not do costumes, who does not dance. Like, I am the outcast. Everyone loves this shit. Not for me. Sasha, make a hand to the back.
What happens with Robin, please?
Yes, that is actually, I actually thought about that because Robin, it's not the minimal second that Kate starts dressed, losing it. So what's up with that?
So there are several of those. Oh, this one's embarrassing, but I'm going to say it right now. The killer is Mr. Brightside.
Okay.
I can't explain it. It's nothing to write home about, but that song comes on and I am here for it. Yes, it's true, Robin. But as we have proven at our family dance parties, Glenn Miller came up last time. Glenn Miller Big Band Orchestra. We all were like, oh, this jam, and we bust. So I love really pretty music in general. I love, like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna roll some of the eyes. I love a Mumford and Sons song. It's
not
so
here,
pretty.
Not in this room. You're
it's just such
roll.
A pretty
not
song. And yeah, it's like ugh, whatever. I get it. It's basic, but it's so pretty. 3 minutes in, if you are not like in the middle of this song, then you have no soul. Like, it's just people. I love a song that just gets you going. I don't want to have to be in a wedding to dance. I don't want to have to go somewhere to sing in front of people. I don't want to have a first dance. I would never have a wedding because I would never have a first. I wouldn't want to do any of that shit. But if it organically comes up in the situation, I'm not going to be an idiot. It's a great song. I'm there with you. But I don't want the pressure to do it because we're all dancing. I'm just as comfortable sitting at the table watching all the purses because that's what I prefer to do. There's been many a wedding.
And you're enjoying it as much.
I am. Everyone thinks if you're not dancing, you're miserable. I have chosen not to dance, and I have left a wedding before because I got dragged onto the dance floor so many times by someone who thought I needed to be dragged onto the dance floor that I was like, this is awful. Like, it's awful. I am just trying to sit down and have a good time by myself. There's so many settings where you can't do that as an option. They make you feel uncomfortable
right.
when you're trying to be comfortable. I don't need to do that. I don't need that's part of my thing. I'm not going to go somewhere where I know it's an applied discomfort. I don't need that. What do I care? I just don't need to go. This is not life or death. I don't need to dance. Chill. So
you're in the corner watching them dance.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
That's all you got. All right. Got it.
That was brilliant. He keeps coming with this beautiful insight.
See, you learned Spina Gallery once, and here we are.
I think we need to just like upgrade this, you know, like this peanut gallery because it's not our thing. It's a very great big ass nut.
I want to become a peanut butter. Let me see.
I want
to put the peanut gallery.
It should be clear that before we started this, the one thing both of the peanut gallery asked was, are they allowed to pipe up and be a part of the peanut gallery? So this has worked out really well. Some of our best content has come from the peanut gallery and our director. Okay, what else do we got?
Okay, so there are just like this other one, this one that is always just like, I'm always thinking about this. And Cade is, you know, just like the mother at all times. She's the person that is always going to bring everyone together. She's the one that is, you know, like, if you hate each other, she's going to tell you, go and have a coffee together. Go make peace. You guys are just going to find some relationship in here. She's always going to be this person that is uniting the rest. But you say here that you say no participation. I'm not a team player. What is that contrast there?
I think the difference is I can bring people together and not participate in their being together. And I don't need to be a part of a relationship. I have no interest in getting a part of, into a friendship that I think two people would forge or a bridge that two people need to bridge. Gap. Bridge people need a gap. I don't know how you'd say that. I don't need to be involved in that. I am fine just being like, hey, it might be worth having a conversation with so-and-so. I really think you've misjudged them. I think they're really great. I think you'd get along. Why don't you go for coffee? It might be really fun, and you might realize that you totally would. I've done that. I've seen it work. I've seen it produce really great friendships. I don't need anything to do with that. It's not my business. That's those two people. I'm just here to be like, hey, look, maybe you didn't think about this, or maybe you should look at them this way, or maybe ask them this question. You might find you have something in common. And so the participation factor is I don't ever want to feel pressure. I'm not competitive. I do not like competition in any of its forms. And when you participate in things, there's a thrive competition, whether it's group work in high school and being the one who does the work, or it's being on a swim team when you're 7 years old, you're still part of a relay. All of those things are a pressure I do not want anything to do with. It's kind of like dating. I don't want to participate in that culture. It brings me a feeling of pressure that I am not comfortable with, and I don't need to be a part of it to be successful in dating. So I'm not going to be a part of that version of dating. I love watching tennis. Tennis is my favorite thing in the whole entire world to watch on TV. I don't want to play on a team. I don't want to play somewhere where there's points. I don't want to go out in the field and let a partner down. I have no interest in participating in those things. I don't want to play fucking pickleball. I don't want to go out and strawberry pick on the weekends. I don't want to go play beach volleyball on a Saturday. I don't like to participate because I'd like to do my own thing. If I want to go, oh my gosh, I'll totally go and I'll let you know. But in general, participating in things, I don't want to do that. I'm the girl who sits at the table and watches the purses, and I'm so happy.
As everyone else is just having the time of their lives because Cade is just like this incredible planner that not only just everyone is obsessed with everything she does, but she puts so much effort and thought into everything she plans for others.
But then, yeah, you just don't even see her throughout the whole thing. So she just, like, blends in. She's just, like, part of everyone else. But it's not one that is just going to be, give me credit. Or just, like, tell me more how I did great about this. No, you just blend in. You saw it, and you go to the side.
I've always said I'd rather work the party than attend it. And my brother got married at my parents' farm. There's, like, the big, you know, very typical, gorgeous, beautiful, idyllic Maine barn wedding on a big property, so that there's a big fire pit over here, and then way over here is the backlit barn where there's ambient glow and people dancing and enjoying merriment. And we're over by the campfire, chain smoking cigarettes, wasted because it's been an open bar since 9 a.m. And we have just had a damn day, and it was just a perfect, amazing, beautiful day. My mom walks over, and she and I are standing, and we're looking back at the barn where everyone's dancing, where everyone's having a good time. And I started to cry, and I was like, and I'm going to cry now. I was like, don't you love looking at it? Like, look at everybody having so much fun. Like, you did that. That's all I care about. I don't give a shit if you tell me that you had fun. I don't ever need to know. I'm watching everyone have such a, I did that. I don't need any more than that. That's my validation. And so I think that the participation, I don't need the participation to feel good. I love knowing that I'm in this setting, either with my friends and I've been invited and that's an honor, or because I had the privilege of throwing this party and everyone's enjoying it and that is so validating, or because I am in a setting with my friends and someone says, oh my gosh, you're my favorite, and someone else says, everybody always says that. You don't think I don't note that shit? I am filing that away. Thanks. I'm just obvious. Everyone just wants to poo-poo those moments. I don't. I take every single one of them in. They are so important to me that the participation, I don't need that part. People seem to need that step to feel a validation because you come out a winner or you come out a standout in a crowd. I don't know what the thing is with participation. I don't need that because, like, dating is life. You participate every fucking day and you just start noting everything that makes you feel validated, everything that makes you feel like you got to know somebody, everything that makes you feel like you succeeded. All those things happen all of the time. And so it eliminates all these other reasons that people form situations. I don't need the situation.
And to Chris, how long do we have?
At this point, LOL, what is time?
It's June 20th. No, I'm just asking because let's remember, it's late in the afternoon.
That's true. Okay, so
we're getting kicked out.
That's true. You are getting, it's 3:49 whenever this is happening. We've got 15 minutes and I'm going to ask you all to leave. So let's do 10 minutes. I'm going to set a timer. We're going to wrap whatever we got in 10 minutes. I'll skip for 10 minutes and 30 seconds. Okay, ready, set, go. 10 minutes, cool. Already wrap up.
So here's this point that I was just going to say, going back to what I was saying before, that whoever doesn't know you is going to judge you, is just they're going to probably feel that because you have this terms and conditions, these regulations, they are probably going to be like, oh my God, this girl is so selfish. She doesn't probably care that we're here at this very special moment at this birthday party. And she's just like taking off without saying even goodbye, things like that. And it's just like this selfish perspective that some people may see because they're judging you and they don't have the luck to know you. This is something that is completely the opposite. And When we meet you, when we actually know who you are, we understand this and value it so much more than you would ever think. You know, like, yes, you are rewarded from, you know, people's actions and the way they react to things. But also, it's just, we don't say anything to you because knowing you, mm-hmm. You don't really need to hear a peep of it. However, there is another thing that, you know, like you put here, that is, yes, you're always thinking about people. You're always thinking about, you know, like the wellness of others and the happiness of other people. But yet you don't share things like
savage.
She doesn't share things, you know, like special moments for people that are, you know, let's say bachelorette parties.
Yeah.
Hell no, that's just like an absolute not for you.
No,
for you
in general.
But it's something that you are happy for them. However, you're not participating. Doesn't make you selfish. Doesn't make you just like a bad person. It makes you Kate.
Yeah.
It is, you know, I'm respecting what I like and what I don't like.
I mean, I think we talked about this the last weekend. You're, you know, in a situation where you were invited to a bridal shower. My first question was, have you ever been to a house? If you've never been to her house, if you don't know her middle name, if she's never been to your house, if you've never been to drinks together after, you don't gotta go to the bridal shower. The wedding is kind of its own thing, but a bridal shower, like, you don't have to go to those. You don't have to bring a gift to the wedding if you travel to the wedding. I'm just not the person who's going to follow all this stuff because you should. Those aren't my love languages. That is not how I love you. That is not how I show up. I'm showing up in the most important moments. Your bridal shower, with all due respect to the ceremony and sanctity and beauty of your marriage,
mm-hmm.
I don't care about your bridal shower. I got a lot of friends who are getting married. I don't go to their bridal showers. I don't go to their engagement showers. I don't go to all their baby showers. If you're not in that top 20, I just don't go. And it's not a coldness. It's not a callousness. It's not an unfeeling. It's that I can't spread in that direction. I just don't have it. I cannot fake how much I'm investing in anything. And I just think it's this kind of social trope that we have to dive all in when someone asks us to dive all in. And I don't believe that. And I think we're in a culture of people spending so much money on one another for the sake of ceremony that I think you lose everything in that. And I'm not going to adhere to that. Gifts are not my love language. It's touch, by the way. And so I'm not good with gifts. I'm not good. You can ask anyone in this room. I'm not good with birthdays. I don't fucking know. You know what my birthday calendar is? Facebook. Unless I go on to Facebook on any given day, I don't know if it's your birthday, even if you're my cousin. Like, I'm just not, that's not how I'm wired, because I'm not thinking of you in those ceremonial moments. You're on my radar all the time. If you're on my radar, you know you're on my radar. And if you're not, it's no offense, no harm.
No one that knows you will be offended, because we know how you are. If I ask you right now when my birthday is, you're not going to know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. You're not going to have it.
Do you know how I know my cat's birthday? My perfect angel Dom, who is sleeping in my lap right now. Do you know how I know it's her birthday? Because I get an email from the vet every single year when I wake up. It says, happy birthday, Dom. And I'm like, oh, shit.
That says it all. That says it all.
I don't need to know when Dom's birthday is. Someone will tell me. And Dom's birthday will rise and set without my acknowledging it. It's fine. It is such a shallow thing. And I, you know, problematically, I'm anything but shallow. I go real deep, real fast, and all the time, no matter what.
Police.
And so there is a part of me that kind of doesn't acknowledge all this other stuff, and not because I'm aloof, but because I'm not holding it. I'm not holding it in my head. I'm not holding it as important. There's so many other things that about our relationship that are important. But your bridal shower and your gift, that's not on the list, straight up.
And we all have different lists, and you have yours.
We all have different lists. That's gorgeous.
And I actually think that when Kate was
talking,
the first time that Kate sent me this list, I was like, everyone should have one of these lists. Mm-hmm. And I should actually start my own. And I already have.
Everyone says to journal and manifest. That's exactly what you're holding in your hand. Mine just looks different.
All right.
It's got teeth inside.
So
Sasha's going to say that.
The Peter Gallery.
Hurry up. We got 5 minutes and 29 seconds.
All right, good.
Hold on. Sasha's going to say, let's get Sasha.
Yes,
let's go.
Please.
Go ahead. So, listening to this list and how amazing it is, and it's like moved you through life, so clearly you hold it to your dear life and how you navigate through it. Do you think everybody should have certain lists like this?
I don't think everyone should be psycho enough and write it down in a manila envelope, no. But I do think that, yeah, you should pack parameters, and these aren't deal breakers. These aren't like hard, fast, stiff rules that just, you know, violate your morals and integrity. If you go there, it's not that heavy. It's enough to walk into a shoe store and say, I'm here for red shoes. Don't look at fucking purple shoes. You're here for red shoes. That's all this is. It's just life applied. And so I've been through a lot. I've made a lot of terrible decisions. I have seen my friends go through a lot. Seen my family go through a lot. I've been independent for a very long time. I've been paying my bills for a very long time. There's a lot of, not even baggage, knowledge. I got a lot of shit. And it's not something that rules my life. It absolutely is something that guides me, and it's something that keeps me in check. Like I said, it gamifies. It doesn't mean you can't beat the castle and get the princess at the end, but you're going to fucking have to go through all that parkour and know the secret gate and know the where to one up and know where to change lives. You'll have to know all that stuff to navigate, getting to the end. These are navigation tips. You can definitely take a back road, more power to you, but the navigation says to do these five things. So are you willing to do that? And so I really think that it creates discipline for me. And I think discipline is kind of a foundation that I will stand by until I'm blue in the face. Discipline, I think, forms everything, and it keeps you not on a track, but true to yourself. And discipline and ritual go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
These are the guidance for ritual. And I think ritual has a mystical sense about it. It's not. It's a habit. Ritual and habit go hand in hand. All these buzzwords, these fucking books are made out, two-minute, you know, atomic habit or whatever it is. Habit and ritual are the same exact thing. Leave the house knowing no matter what, you're just going to be patient and kind. Period. That's your goal today. That's it. You're going to show up today at the end of this day knowing you just didn't lose your cool. That's a challenge. That goes with a lot of these guidelines, because if you eliminate all this shit that you don't want to do, you're not going to lose your cool. You're not going to be impatient. You're not going to fucking hate the person that you had to spend the entire day with. You can get yourself to just being like, okay, I can make it out alive today.
And it is this self-immersion that you do every day with those rituals, because
it's true.
She, you know, like she has her, I'm not going to say, okay, but I'm going to say it. No, they're not weird.
They're just
so
like,
I have no idea where the rest of the
they're just,
is going.
They're just her rituals. They're just like very unique rituals. For example, one at 4 o'clock, she always have to have, she has to have her vodka and
grapefruit.
And that is just like a must have. It never fails. Even if she's at work, she's always going to have it. But she, you also have your Jesus time. And so is that self-immersion and connection with your everything, with your world, that makes you be the person you are.
Okay.
So just like to close, because I know this is going to be done in a minute.
1 minute and 25.
Just like finish with your Jesus time, because this is something I adore about you.
Okay, so I'm stocking the clock so we don't get interrupted. We're done. After this, we're done, we promise. Jesus time is, it requires a full episode probably. But it is truly how I start my day. I would not say I'm religious. I would say I'm spiritual, but not like a 90s yoga way. Like, actually, I really do believe in a higher power. My higher power happens to be God. And people spend the day, start the day meditating. People start the day with a run. People start the day with quiet time or a fucking cold bath. Fuck. And I start the day with Jesus time. I sit on my kitchen floor on a towel so that I don't get too comfortable, because I want to stay, like, present. And I read. Maybe you've seen Kourtney Kardashian post about it on Instagram. She has my Jesus time book. And it literally is a combo of like scripture and horoscope, where it's super digestible. It's super short. It's super snappable. And it reminds you that you are just kind of nothing in this great sea. Good luck out there. And if you give up control, then, you know, you can kind of see what life throws at you. Stay present, stay patient, and take the high road at the end of the day. And I read out loud, because if you do it in your head, I don't think you digest it. So I read out loud twice, and it's cute because the cats know it's happening. And no matter where they are in the house, they know I'm sitting on the floor for Jesus time. And so they will come climb in my lap, because we'll sit on the floor for about 45 minutes. And I'll pray for my family, and I'll pray for everyone, my friends. I'll pray for job stress. I'll pray for the fact that it looks like the apocalypse outside and keep me safe. And I pray to be really present and really open.
And also you pray to always be different.
I end with praying that I shine light. That's all I can ask, is that I get to the privilege of shining light, and that no matter what, everybody sees me as different today. That's
yes.
It. That's it. And I have no idea what that looks like. And I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with it. But I feel a responsibility, because this sounds so weird. And you have to know that I know it sounds weird when I say it. I feel a responsibility because I feel like I'm a little different, and I own that. And that's why we're here. And all I want to do is honor that. And I want to honor the fact that people seem to feel the same way. That's so important to me, in a way that's so hard to explain. And that's what this podcast explains, is rules may apply, but people will show you everything. They'll show you everything that's different.
They'll show you everything that's new. They'll show you everything that you've never heard before. And you might change your mind, and the rules, they change.
Because you're always going to fight something from us in you.
Always.
That we don't know how to express, we don't really know how to portray.
And I did my shit. For the record, I steal all of my content from you people. Every single day that I've got something to say, it's because someone's inspired it. I'm not that original. So every single thing that we will talk about on this podcast is stuff that just is life. It's my job. It's interacting with people as a career. It is not having a voice necessarily when I was coming up. It's now having a voice. It's figuring out my voice. It's figuring out what my confidence looks like. All that happened, it happened because I did the work. And so now we're going to do the work, and rules may apply.
Y'all, they may.
I mean,
asterisk.